The first scripture is Psalm 96, 1 through 2, and 11 through 13 from the Common English Bible. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Let heaven celebrate, let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it roar. Let the countryside and everything in it celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest, too, will shout out joyfully before the Lord, because he is coming. He is coming to establish justice on the earth. He will establish justice in the world rightly. He will establish justice among people fairly. Our second scripture reading is Mark 16, 1 through 15. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell the disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They promptly reported all of the young man's instructions to those who were with Peter. Afterward, through the work of his disciples, Jesus sent out from the east to the west the sacred and the undying message of eternal salvation. Amen. After Jesus rose up early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to the ones who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. But even after they heard the news, they didn't believe that Jesus was alive and that Mary had seen him. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them who were walking alongside in the countryside. When they returned, they reported it to the others, but they didn't believe them. Finally, he appeared to the 11 while they were eating. Jesus criticized their unbelief and stubbornness because they didn't believe those who saw him after he was raised up. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature."
Please join me in prayer. Loving and generous God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Easter story is one that we know, and one that we like to skip ahead in to the ending of, because we know what is coming. But the women in this story are very much those characters who do not know what is coming. They do not know what to be expecting. But they have dutifully gathered with the people of Israel for Passover, for remembering the stories of suffering and liberation of the people of God. And rather than celebrating such a meal, holding the tension of joyous liberation and grief of what was suffered during those periods of enslavement at the hands of Egypt, they instead had 3 days of watching their most trusted and beloved teacher be arrested and tortured and killed by the Roman government. And they couldn't even mourn this devastating loss fully because of the observance of the Sabbath. So after an agonizing day of waiting and not being able to prepare the customary perfumes and oils and spices for anointing these women, Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary, the mother of Jesus, make their way to the tomb in the lingering darkness of the morning. And perhaps as they wander their way down the path and through the town, they run into one another, all feeling the depth and the weight of the grief that the moment and the past few days have carried with them. While it was yet dark, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, the women navigated their ways on their own and coming together as they arrived at the tomb to pay grief's necessary homage to this person that they learned from and that they loved. And they desired to grieve, to honor this person, to honor Jesus as soon and as early as they possibly could. But when they arrive, instead of finding the closed tomb and the large obstacle of a rock to worry about, they instead find the rock rolled away and the tomb holding a young man seated inside, waiting. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised, and he isn't here. This boy says it like it's not obvious. Who else would this group of women be gathering to mourn? And what could this person possibly mean when he says that the person you are looking for isn't here? What could it possibly mean that he is raised? And the women are overcome with terror and dread. Here they have their answer. Jesus has been raised. But rather than this information being something that is comforting, it is instead alarming. It sets these women into motion of proclaiming this message to Jesus' disciples. And we often hear this talked about as a triumphant and excited teaching, depending on which story of resurrection we read. But here, this group of women are operating out of terror and dread, and because they are so stunned, they haven't even begun to register the good news of what they are saying. They have waited in the pain of grief and loss through the Sabbath, and they have navigated in the dark, not quite dawn of this morning, and they have found each other as they sought to live into their love for this person who has meant so much to them and taught them so much. These women are probably not fearless, but they have committed to this walk in the early dawn. And they will meet their Lord. They just don't know it yet. They have arrived in the just-turning light morning only to be told that this body they needed to honor is no longer there. That is a devastating blow. And yet the wonder of resurrection has already been at work. While the trauma is fresh and the wounds are not yet healed and the sleep deprivation and exhaustion of this Holy Week are still lingering, resurrection happens while it is still dark. During Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday through Good Friday, Jesus encounters the very worst of what humans can do to each other. Jesus has experienced the betrayal by one of his closest friends. He has been the subject of state-sanctioned violence as Pontius Pilate condemned him, and he has become the victim of a public, painful, and brutally graphic death on a cross. And death has gripped the community that loved him and learned from him and sought him as the only person willing to touch and heal them, the only person willing to see them also as created and beloved beings of God. As the Reverend Lizzie McManus Dale writes, resurrection does not wait for the dawn. A new day has begun deep in the shroud of night, peeling away the cloths that bound our God in death and unfurling them with life that is too strong to be held in chains. Jesus rising from the grave tells us death does not have the final word. And Jesus shows us there is nothing so broken or so awful in our lives that is beyond resurrection. Jesus rose from the grave so we can too. God has faced the worst things that we do to one another and still steps out of the tomb saying, I love you and I am here. Resurrection happens in the darkness, at the very limits of our knowing and our understanding and our perceiving. And that is also where God tends to be the most creative. In the voice over the face of the deep, in the womb knitting together our inmost parts, in that time where the sun has gone to bed and our dreams awaken and the terrors are real, but so too is the possibility. God is blooming. While it was yet dark, resurrection was at work. Just like Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary, the mother of Jesus, we enter the darkness without answers, but seeking truth. For that is the only thing that we need. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life that defeats death. Resurrection happens in the dark. And resurrection happens at the limits of our knowing, in the surrender of our certainty, in the willingness to be wrong and be righted and be held in it all. Freedom comes when we are okay with walking without knowing the full path forward, because we trust that we do not walk alone. By light and by night, in the known and in the wild yet unseen, we never walk alone. Amen.